is devoted to those of you who have come to realize, as have I, that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, even counterproductive. And for those of you who would like to know the truth, who would like to know that there is a God, would like to understand what he is offering, and would like to participate in his family. To that end, I am Yada. And if you would like to join us anytime over the next 2 hours, our number is 877-300-7645. Today, rather than beginning by sharing Yah's insight, and which requires us to expose and condemn those who convoluted his testimony, we will begin there, and we will conclude our program in the second hour today with a conversation with IQ Al-Rasuli, the foremost expert on the religion of Islam. Kirk, how are you this morning?
Good morning. It's early.
Yeah.
Now that you've changed coast, it's still early here.
Yeah, it is. It is early there. And you probably haven't seen, but I think I've spent 2 hours this morning responding to emails.
No, I haven't.
We may even share them this evening in the Shabbat program we'll do on Blog Talk Radio, but mostly new members of the Covenant family, people who have come to know Yahweh, partly because we took the time to share and point them in the right direction. We don't get credit for them being part of the family, nor are we seeking it, but certainly our willingness to share what we've learned and point people in the right direction has contributed to many being part of the covenant. And another was from an ongoing critic that is quite certain that I am misleading people who are blind and dumb to their ruin. I wrote a long letter to try to explain my position on that topic.
To that end, today, if you will indulge me, I was
reading the
paper yesterday.
Uh-huh.
There was a little article. This is a guy who is overtly Christian, who writes this little column, and he decided to write his top 10, or the God's top 10 list. And obviously he's talking about the Ten Commandments, and this is so juicy for you. I know you would love to go through this thing. It's brief, but
please.
It exposes what Christianity, how dumb Christianity really is, and in light of anyone who's done a translation on the Ten Statements written and carved in stone. And,
and by the way, so before you even share this, because that would be an interesting place for us to go. In the last 10 years, a number of us have participated in a journey through words to come to know Yahweh as he introduced himself to us in his Torah guidance. And we've examined those words thoughtfully. We've examined those words closely. I sought to interpret the full and accurate meaning of those words, and we have gone where those words have led. And we have come to know Yahweh. We've come to understand what he is offering and what he is asking. And while the big picture is clear, I suspect that we know and understand the role that only a tiny percentage of the details play in this overall picture.
Sure.
And that while you and I in particular love the details, I mean, we are passionate about the details here, and just can't wait to examine another detail to see how it further illuminates the path. I suspect that you would be as willing as I am to say that while the big picture is clear, that the vast preponderance of the details we don't know. And it's not because we don't want to know. It's just that there's so much to know. It's an eternity to know all of the details. And by golly, if we did know it all now, what fun would eternity be?
I don't think there's nothing to dispute there. That's
right. So is there know. is Yeah, so is there the possibility that we're wrong in conveying the importance of Yahweh's name, the importance of his Torah teaching, the fact that his Torah does mean teaching and guidance, not law? No, there's zero chance.
No.
Are we zero chance in saying that the covenant is the most important thing to Yahweh, or articulating the conditions that Yahweh expects us to acknowledge if we want to participate?
That's absolutely knowable.
No chance. All knowable, clear, indisputable. There's no chance that we have misinterpreted the seven Moed Mikre, the meetings that Yahweh has invited us to attend, and their contribution towards the benefits of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there the possibility that, you know, for example, this particular argument happened to be on cross-dressing, when I say, no, Yahweh didn't mention cross-dressing. I was wrong. He did mention it.
Yeah.
He mentioned it with kind of an interesting time where men and women actually wore the same apparel. So there had to be a reason for him to mention it. Just one line, but it had to be a reason for him to mention it. And you know, I was thrilled to be wrong and then explore what the possibilities were as to why he mentioned it. And we spent, you know, two programs on that. But I went on to say, and I definitely want to look at the Christian perspective on the what they would call the Ten Commandments, and to refute them. But I also said that since it was written in the imperfect, if someone is, you know, no longer engaging in cross-dressing and they're no longer engaging in homosexuality, even if they had done both of those things, that they would still be welcome in the covenant if they accept the terms. Because this is the point I made that ties in with what you want to do here today.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh listed the 10 biggest things, the 10 most important instructions. He wrote them with his own hand in stone, did he not?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Did cross-dressing and homosexuality make that list?
I can't find it anywhere.
Okay. Are there things on that list that Yahweh's favorite child in all of human history goofed on?
Just about all.
So Dode was guilty.
As a cursory glance, he's probably about.
Okay, so Dode at one time or another of his life, David, goofed on most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is Dode not perfect, and is Dode not in the covenant? Maybe I'm missing something here.
No, he's absolutely there.
So if Dode can goof on some of the things that made Yahweh's top 10 list and still be in the covenant, would you think it'd be reasonable for us to assume that we could goof, somebody could goof on one of the minor ones? Hey, you know, I think I misspoke when I said, you know, I've never worn a dress. I have worn a dress, actually. And there's probably 17 other guys that can attest to the fact that I wear a dress. I have been a cross-dresser once in my life. It was, I joined a fraternity, Kappa Sig.
A frat party, wasn't it?
Yeah, at USA. It wasn't a party. It was that was back in the time that there was still hazing. And one of the hazing events to bond us together, to have us do something that was just ridiculously stupid and so far out of our comfort zone, but to do it together so we'd have this memory that we could talk about together, they had us, as the 18 guys as part of the pledge class, dress up in drag, as it was called at the time, and go to a homosexual bar and get a picture taken with a monkey. We had to have a live monkey. We all had to be dressed in drag. And we had to go to this homosexual bar long enough to take the picture. So, I guess I'm guilty. But, you know, it isn't part of my ongoing persona. And so I am quite certain that I'm part of the covenant. And so that was the point. And so the details along the way. Now, is it possible that we have somehow, I won't get you, I don't want to drag you into this, but is it possible that somehow I've misunderstood, misinterpreted that detail and that I'm wrong? I guess so. But so what?
Yeah.
How does that apply to the vast majority of people who are benefiting by coming to know what Yahweh said, coming to know him as he actually is, and having the advantage of being pointed in the right direction? How does that affect the price of potatoes?
That's right. Yeah, just not, you know, tempest in a teapot sort of thing with some of these arguments for the last 6 months or so. It's like, come on, guys.
I mean, come on. Come on. Big picture stuff here. Now, you may not want to be part of this program anymore now that you know that to join.
Well, that was,
this was back by the time, by the way, that I didn't have a clue who Yahoo was.
Well, I thought he was probably going to be in a drama class or something, but that happened too soon.
Oh, goodness. So, anyway, so this is the Christian view of the Ten Commandments.
Right, and it's the guy who writes a column weekly, and I don't know if he writes it for other papers as well, but this was just line by line by line. It was this, here's where he starts. He says, I began, and you jump in whenever you, when any buzzword hits you that you want
okay.
to, I mean, but I began a Bible study.
Well, that's a good one.
Well,
there's two of them. Can I jump in?
Let me get one whole sentence.
Okay.
I began a Bible study at the church on God's top ten.
Okay. All right. Bible is the name of a pagan sun goddess. Her name was Biblia. She was the local goddess of a town in Egypt, which was prolific for its papyrus. Now, that papyrus was then sent to Phoenicia, where they found a microclimate where it grew. And so they named the town in Phoenicia, after the Egyptian sun goddess, where the papyrus was most prolific, Biblia. And because papyrus was initially, I mean, after parchment, the next thing before paper was papyrus. Now, paper was the great leap forward. That didn't occur until the 4th century. But there was a period of time from about year zero, the transition between BCE and CE, where papyrus became more popular than parchment. Now, almost all of Yahweh's testimony, this part of the Dead Sea Qumran collection is on parchment. That's animal skin. It's far more enduring. But there's a period of time where books were comprised of papyrus, and they were called codexes. You know, this collection of pages as opposed to long scrolls of papyrus. And because they came from the town named after the sun goddess Biblia, Christians chose to call their scripture the Bible. Yeah, it's a goof. All right, so we begin with the name of the book. Kirk, did Yahusha ever say that, ever use the word Biblia, Bible?
Never.
In fact, when he talked about the inspiration from the Father, did he not refer to it either as the Torah, full stop, the Torah and prophets, full stop, or the Torah, prophets, and Psalms? And even when he referred to it using all three, the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and never anything else, either just Torah, Torah, prophets, or Torah, prophets, and Psalms, the pronoun that he would select thereafter referred to the Torah, prophets, and Psalms as singular.
Mm-hmm. The word.
Yeah, it's his testimony. But did he ever use any other reference?
Not to my knowledge.
So why should we?
I don't think we should.
And if we were going to call the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, that which Yahusha quoted and said was inspired, by any other name, wouldn't we have expected Yahusha to have conveyed a different name?
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to do this, what do you think the odds are that the God who in the Torah said we should not commemorate the names of pagan gods and goddesses would name his testimony after a pagan goddess?
Right.
And for those of you who are saying, you know, this is a nit. No, you know, there's big picture things and there's nits. Cross-dressing is a nit.
Yeah.
Homosexuality is a nit. Calling Yahweh's testimony the Bible is not a nit.
No, this is a big deal.
That's a big deal.
This is a life changer.
That is a life changer. Correct. That's a life changer.
Okay. So that's the first thing. And then he said, from the Bible.
Said he,
and then he said, in his church. Didn't he use the word his church?
Mm-hmm. Well,
can you please?
He says study at the church, but he's
really. At the church.
The church.
The church. That's the definite article as if there's one. At the church. Does Yahweh have a church?
I think he would have told us if he wanted to form one, and there's no mention of it.
No. Does he ever use the word, a word that's even remotely akin to church?
Not to church, no.
No. In fact, what he says, he's going to build his mikre, which was translated into Greek as ecclesia, which means invitation to be called out.
Called out. Mm-hmm.
And what he's doing is he was affirming the role the first four mikre play in the fulfillment of the covenant's promises. You know, they form these moed mikre, these invitations to be called out and meet with God. Mikre in the plural and in Hebrew, ecclesia in Greek, that they are the very essence of the Torah. They sit at the heart of the Torah. And there's no more important instructions in the Torah than these.
No.
And they're the only path that we can follow to Yahweh's home, to being part of his family. So God, I mean, is thinking that God has established a church on a 1 to 10 scale of importance, is it a 0 nit or a 10 important?
That's important to know the difference there. It's important to know this is not true.
Right. Because otherwise you're going to go to a church thinking you're going to find God there.
That's where you find God. And that's
yeah. And the opposite is true. Or you're going to think that God established his church and you're going to listen to what they have to say. So, wow. But it's beyond that. The reason I would call it a 10 on a 1 to 10 scale, and may even be an 100 on a 1 to 10 scale if that's possible, is because of what church covers up. Church is covering up and replacing the single most important thing that you ought to know.
And that's the deception that you were really getting to behind the cross-dressing thing. It's you're lying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's deception.
Right, it's deception.
It lies.
Right.
You can't deal with a liar. You can't deal.
False pretenses. The church is false pretense. It's pretending to be godly when, in fact, it hides, covers up, obscures that which is godly, which is the mikre, the invitations to be called out and meet with him. Pesach, Matzah, Bukurim, Shavua, Teruah, Kippurim, and Sukkah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's hiding. That's what it's obscuring. That's what it's altering. That's the pretense.
Yeah.
So the next is that he says of God. Does God, on these 10 statements, introduce himself by name?
I think he does. I think he called himself Yahweh.
So why would you refer to him
and
not use his name when you're going to talk about what he etched in stone? And when he etched in stone, he wrote his name.
Yeah, and you have to know his name.
Now, do you think that God was capable of spelling his name correctly?
I think he's an excellent speller.
I rather think so, too. Did he write his name using some of the letters found in among the 22 that are part?
Indeed he did.
Yeah, he did. Uh-huh. All right, so we're examining the name that this fellow doesn't want to use, which would be Yahweh's name. You've confirmed that you think it is highly likely. It's your interpretation, considering the evidence, Kirk, that the God that created the universe and who authored the Torah and scribed his 10 statements in stone on 2 tablets, it's your testimony that he knows how to spell his own name?
I'm pretty safe ground here.
Okay. And beyond that, did he spell his name using secret letters?
No.
So the letters that he used, they're common in the Hebrew alphabet.
Uh-huh.
Are there letters, are these letters in the Hebrew alphabet kind of obscure so that, well, maybe he just chose some of the lesser known ones?
No, they don't even look like anything else. They're pretty clear.
Pretty standard, huh? And the first letter of Yahweh's name, did he use it to name his favorite place on earth?
Jerusalem, yes, indeed.
Well, anyway, you did. It's in Jerusalem, but is it also in Yisrael?
Yisrael, yes.
Is there anybody that doesn't know how to pronounce Yisrael?
Well, this guy doesn't spell it right.
Well, it doesn't spell it right, but pronouncing it, is it hard to pronounce?
Pronounce Yisrael. It's quite simple to pronounce Yisrael.
Okay. You know, Christians will talk about Messiah, right? Is there a Y in that word?
Messiah.
Yeah, there is. So there's no question about how to pronounce it. In fact, although they spell it with an I, not with a Y, Isaiah is Yashaya, right?
Mm-hmm. Yashaya.
Yeah. So there's no question that the Y, there's nobody out there that would tell you that the Y in Hebrew is unpronounceable, is there?
Not if they have a brain.
Okay. Is the hey in Hebrew among the most common letters in the alphabet?
If not the, it's certainly in the top two or three.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Is the Hebrew word Torah, does it have a hey in it?
It does. Torah.
Torah. So you pronounce it as an ah, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Torah. All right. How about the word that Yahweh said is the basis of his name, the Hebrew word meaning to exist? I am, I was, I will be. What is that word?
Hayah.
The verb? Hayah.
Mm.
Okay. Hayah has both the Y in it and the Hey in it. In fact, in that order. So it's Hayah, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So the YH would be Yah, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so that part's not complicated, and the H at the end would also be Ah, based upon the thousands of Hebrew words that are pronounceable using that letter.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now what about the W in the? That's because that's the only other letter.
Yeah, we have a.
What about the Torah? Do we find a W in Torah?
Mm-hmm. Torah.
It's the O, right?
Oh.
Oh, do we find a W in, what's the single most commonly spoken Hebrew word today? How do Jews greet one another?
Shalom.
The O in Shalom, where does it come from?
I think it comes from the same letter.
Oh, the Wa. Okay.
The Wa. Mm-hmm.
So how about the most common title for God himself? It's from Eloah.
Eloah, uh-huh.
Where do we get the O sound in Eloah?
Same Wa.
Huh. Yeah, have you ever heard of Jews referring to non-Jews as Goyim?
Goyim, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One of the most commonly spoken Hebrew words, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a W in Goyim?
It must be.
How about the Hebrew word for day? Yom.
Yom. Yeah, Yom Kippurim.
Yeah, Yom Kippurim. Duh. Hear it all the time. The O sounds from the W. Which of those letters is difficult to pronounce?
Not a single one.
Which of those has a secret pronunciation?
Not a single one.
Are those letters used in conjunction with one another in thousands of Hebrew words?
Thousands of Hebrew words, indeed. Indeed they are.
Mm. So, Okay, so it can't be because no one knows how to pronounce it. So he's so far he's struck out. He's 0-3. If we're going to use a baseball analogy, there is no Bible, at least associated with Yahweh. Yahweh does not have a church. And number three, if you're going to speak of him,
you
need to address him by name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how does it go from the introduction?
Well, we got the first sentence and the first paragraph. I'll read the whole thing because it's, if you know anything about the Bible, you will soon guess that the study is about the Ten Commandments.
Wow. Okay. All right, so first of all, he's repeated the same mistake on Bible. Now, you know, one of the things that's always puzzled me on this is that Pauline Christianity is an absolute and complete refutation of the Torah.
Right.
It replaces the Torah with the gospel of grace.
Yes, it does.
It's a complete and utter substitution. They don't like that Old Testament because they have their New Testament. So why would this idiot be speaking about that Old Testament and its Torah, which is where we find the Christian Ten Commandments?
Well, he's actually going to explain that a little bit.
Okay. So he wants to pick and choose. He wants to ignore the Moed Mikra and replace them with Christmas and Easter. He wants to ignore the Shabbat and replace it with Sunday. He wants to replace Yahweh with the Jesus. He wants to replace Torah with Bible. He wants to replace Mikra with church. But yet he wants to speak on, as an authority on the very centerpiece of the Torah, though it's not really a centerpiece, it's a summation of the Torah, if you will, that Yahweh etched in stone. Mm. That sounds a bit hypocritical to me.
He actually concludes this thing with an invitation to his Zion Presbyterian Church for a Sunday service.
Right.
Yeah.
Did he spell Zion correctly with a T-S?
No, I'm afraid it's with a Z.
Does he know that what Sion means?
I doubt it.
And what does it mean, Kirk?
Well, it's a mark along the way. It's his signature.
It's a signpost along the way that has his signature on it.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there it is. Okay. So he's speaking about the, if you know anything as about the Bible. Now, what was his conclusion?
You will soon guess that the study is about, that he's going to be talking about, is about the Ten Commandments.
The study is about the Ten Commandments. You will guess. You won't conclude.
No.
You won't connect. You won't understand. You'll guess that it's the study of the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
If that is the case, why did Yahweh write the rest of the Torah?
Well, that would be an interesting question.
If the whole thing was a study of the Ten Statements in Stone, why didn't he begin with the Ten Statements in Stone as opposed to with creation? Why did he begin by telling us the story of the covenant and its formation with Abraham if, in fact, it's the story of the Ten Statements? Commandments.
Yeah. Well, you have to ask yourself
why did he save the children of Israel? Why did he take them away from the crucible known as Egypt, if in fact, and delineate in the midst of it the importance of these seven invitations to meet with him, if the whole thing was about the commandments?
And those are ignored, you know, that you throw those out with the Torah. So
of course. So, listen, I don't want to de-emphasize the importance of the Ten Statements. I think the Ten Statements affirm the conditions of and benefits of the covenant. I think that they do a marvelous job of correctly presenting who Yahweh is and the role that he wants to play in our lives.
Right.
And I think it's a marvelous introduction to who he is by name, to his role as our Savior, to the fact that he is liberating us, not enslaving us, and that he is wholly and completely opposed to religion. And any vestige or a semblance of religion, discuss him. And that he says, because of religion, fathers corrupt their children to the third and fourth generation. And it's only by knowing the terms and conditions of the covenant that you can benefit from his mercy.
All right.
And that those who mislead and negate the value of his name cannot be forgiven. Isn't that how he starts?
Right. Absolutely.
So what he's doing here is providing a summation of some of his most important teaching. But it's not the entirety of the message, is it?
No, nor is it meant to be. The Torah is they are in the Ark of the Covenant, and the Torah is right next to them. I mean, there's a reason they're together, to be read together, to be read with.
Yeah, to be understood together. Okay, so he's wrong on that guessing, and he's wrong that all of this exists for the purpose of explaining the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what?
Are they commands?
No. There's only one of them that was... Yeah, there's 10 statements there. There's one of them that was written in the imperative mood. The imperative mood always conveys volition, and sometimes, on rare conditions, can express a command. It is the only mood capable of expressing a command in Hebrew. Only one of the 10 is written with the imperative mood, and it's the one where volition is the most important and where a command is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one about highly valuing your Heavenly Father and spiritual mother.
Yeah,
yeah. All the rest, none of the rest were written in the imperative mood, and therefore there isn't one commandment, much less 10.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to skip just a little bit because he kind of repeats himself. He does say that the observant reader will notice that the first four words deal with our relationship to God and the last six deal with our relationship to our fellow man. There's nothing terribly wrong with that. It's
just, except for the fact that last time I checked, the first words say, I am Yahweh, your God.
Yes.
I am Yahweh, your God.
Well, when he's saying words, though, I have reread this two or three times. He's talking about what he should have said was the first four statements, because it's pretty clear that's what he's talking about.
Oh, actually, that's not even true.
Yeah,
it's not even true. Well, the first three statements definitely share the perspective that Yahweh would like us to hold, for us to understand who he is and what he's offering. That does not mean that the last seven, and it's two tablets. The first three are on one tablet. The last seven are on another tablet. They are a lot about our relationship with him. It is interesting that the Christian says that the first four about our relationship with God, and concludes that the last six then would be with our relationship with our fellow man, because Kirk, it just ain't so either way. You can't take the instruction on the Shabbat, which is number four, which appears as the first item on the second of the two tablets. You can't take it and put it into the only our relationship with God and remove it from our relationship with humanity, nor can you remove any of the final seven from our relationship with God.
That's true, too.
They're all about our relationship with Yahweh and our relationship with one another as a result of seeking a relationship with Yahweh.
Right, and we are underlining the second tablet. Underlining all that is almost like he's saying, "What I have to offer is no reason for you to steal. There's no reason for you to kill or want other people's stuff. What I'm offering is so beyond that, and especially in light of the 23rd Psalm that we just went through.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing you can steal that you could want.
Yeah, but you know, I'm gonna disagree with you on this one.
Right.
I don't think that's why he has them there.
Oh, I know,
I think he. What you've said is true. I mean, obviously, eternity and being empowered and enriched with Yahweh, being adopted into his family, inheriting the entire universe, and being transformed into a seven-dimensional construct is significantly better than the thing that I want in this world, or anything that we may want in this world. But I think that the instructions on honoring our and viewing as significant our Heavenly Father and our spiritual mother are for us to recognize that once we become part of the covenant, we are the best family in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that so long as we are focused on what our Heavenly Father and spiritual mother are offering, are doing in our lives, then we're going to reflect them in Him, Yahweh, in our world.
Mm-hmm.
And that and if we take time to adjust our pattern to Yahweh's pattern, and we understand all of the promises that are associated with 6 plus 1 equals 7, then we're going to be grounded in history, past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and we're going to take time to celebrate our relationship. And that if we are faithful in our marriages, And if we don't go off and cheat on our husbands and wives, we are going to be a more credible witness when we talk about the ultimate marriage, the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't bear, if what we tell people is true to the best of our knowledge, if we don't bear false witness, if we don't take advantage of people economically, stealing from them, if we don't make a habit of killing people, we're going to be much more effective witnesses relevant to his testimony, correct?
Yeah, it's not just a how to become civil with one another. I mean, that's so shallow.
Right.
Versus,
yeah, Yahweh revealed this to our prophets and psalms. If he did so through an individual, Moshe, and it is individuals like Dode thereafter who helped us understand how to properly observe and understand them. But Kirk, if we weren't talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
If we weren't trying to share with people what the Torah actually says and who its author actually is and what he is offering and what he wants, what he expects, who's going to turn to it? I mean, isn't it important that we shed light on this, that we focus on it, that we share it, that we talk about it?
Well, there ought to be some voices to counter my guidance.
Right. And
study your Bible in church.
Just to point people in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
To give them a different, more valuable, more dependable perspective. And if we're out cheating people, if we're out robbing people, if we're out bearing false witness, then the credibility of that light that's pointing in the right direction, that's illuminating Yah's teaching,
mm-hmm.
is torn asunder.
How have we cheated anyone, or how have we done anything but the best translations you can do?
We've certainly tried.
Yeah.
But that's why the instruction is there, is that Yahweh wants us to be fair in our business dealings. He wants us to be honest in our testimony. He wants us to be faithful in our relationships.
Yeah.
He wants us to pattern our lives over the pattern that he established, 6 point, plus 1 equals 7. He wants us to do these things so that we're more credible witnesses for his testimony, because he has left it to us to share. It's what he wants the family to do. And so that's why it exists. Well, I tell you what, I can't wait on Monday. Let's continue this. This is wonderful stuff.